And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in to the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, hanging out with you today. Marquise, how we doing?
Doing good, man. Watching some soccer right now. This is great.
We do have some day soccer, and you know, hopefully this is just the beginning of day sports. As sports get ready to make their comeback, I mean, the MLS got underway last night. It's on right now. New York and Philadelphia 0-0 right now. So it's weird seeing the day soccer and no fans and all of that going on. But hey, it's exactly what we need right now. But
it's not even day soccer. It's morning. It's early morning.
Yes, morning soccer.
Early morning soccer. Now, usually you get this when you're watching like EPL or the German League or whatever, but you're getting it in MLS. This is an early game, and it's playing on ESPN right now. So it gets the back to sports feel a little bit.
Yes.
So I love watching it.
So speaking of MLS, what was supposed to happen last night was Nashville SC was supposed to play Chicago and make their return. We found out that the day before that was not going to happen. That game had been postponed. We now know that there are 9 players that have tested positive for COVID-19 inside the bubble in Orlando for Nashville SC. So MLS Commissioner Don Garber is going to make a decision on what the future of this tournament looks like for Nashville SC. We are watching for that news to break. There were thoughts that a decision could come up overnight, but as of right now, we're just awaiting what's going to happen with that. And I don't feel very good about it, if I'm being honest, Marquise. I don't think they're going to play. I think they're going to be sent home.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I'm afraid I have some bad news, as Bad News Barrett would once say. I don't think it's looking good for Nashville SC. And like we said yesterday, it's unfortunate because, you know, they're in their first season. Everybody was excited for Nashville SC to finally move over to MLS. And then you get that big, you know, grand opening of their first game in MLS, you know, playing Atlanta United. I was at that stadium in Nissan, and it was electric. And then all of a sudden you go on the road and you play a game, and then it's pretty much your season. And that's the heartbreaking part about this whole thing is just I followed the buildup for this whole Nashville moving to MLS thing. I got to watch the buildup amongst the fan base and how excited everybody was in town to finally have soccer in Nashville. And then pandemic happens. And obviously, pandemic has messed up a lot of different things, a lot of retirements, a lot of, you know, first season openers, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, it's just now they go to Orlando and you think, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to enjoy them in Nissan Stadium. And that's fine. I understand that because of pandemic. But, you know, at least I get to watch them on TV. And then at least they're going to be on this national platform on ESPN to where they're the second game of a MLS is back tournament doubleheader. And they're the second game. And so we're going to get some national notoriety, and people are going to be watching, and people are going to know that we, you know, we have a soccer team out here and we care. And then all of a sudden this happens. So it's just, it's not been a good start for Nashville SC, but, you know, luckily they have a strong fan base, and obviously they're going to keep those. But, you know, I just hope that, you know, if players, you know, start dwindling down, because we saw with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson is going to be back on the racetrack. We saw that, yeah. You know, players, if they test negative, they can go back and, you know, resume play on their sport. So hopefully that can be the case for Nashville SC. But I think as of right now, I think it's not looking good for them in this beginning stages of the MLS's back tournament.
No, it doesn't look good. And here's the question in all of this. And because I tweeted out last night, you know, that I hate it for Nashville SC. They're trying to build a fan base. They're a brand new team. You know, they have been hit with so many things in their inaugural season. And I do feel that way. But at the end of the day, I mean, how avoidable was this? I mean, you have one team that's already been sent home because of this. You have Nashville SC that now it looks like that's probably going to be the case with 9 confirmed cases of COVID-19, I understand that we're all in a weird time, and it's you have people like Freddie Freeman that did all the right things and stayed in, and he still got it. Jimmy Johnson was careful, still got it. So I understand that it's not all plans are not foolproof, but 9 players getting it, I mean, this is obviously something that there can be lessons learned from as they move forward, because this is a huge blow. If they get asked to leave, if they get, you know, kicked out of the tournament, however you want to put it, I mean, this is a huge blow to a team that, like you said, they have a strong fan base. I agree, but it could be a lot bigger, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to grow a fan base. They're trying to take what they started a few years ago with this movement in USL and adding, you know, adding the team and then announcing MLS, and it's grown. But this was a great opportunity to continue to grow the fan base, and now it's just not looking good. So that sets them back a little bit. I'm just
It does, because
it's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, because when you look at the other team that is, you know, also a brand new team, and that's the team in Miami, David Beckham's owned. You know, they played last night, and then they played in that first game, and they got that national notoriety that Nashville SC could have had. And, you know, they're a brand new team as well, and obviously they're already going to have all eyes on them because their president is, guess what, David Beckham, which is one of the, you know, top known soccer players in the world. And so it's difficult. It's tough. I don't know how they handled this situation, because I'm not within the Nashville SC organization. I don't know if they had these tests before they went to Orlando, when they got to Orlando, whatever the case may be. But it was obviously it was mishandled, because there's other teams that don't have these same issues, and obviously they're not going to be on the field because of it. So, like I said, it's unfortunate because they're not going to get that national spotlight on their team. But, you know, it's just pandemic, man. That's just the best way to explain it, man. Pandemic happened. And that's what basically they're going to remember this season for. Their first season in MLS, you know, started off on a high note with that first game, and then ended with them getting, you know, exited out of the tournament because of this. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
they got...
Hopefully they can travel. No, I was just going to say, hopefully they can, you know, if their rates go down and their 9 players turn into 2 players, or their, you know, 9 players turn into 0 players, maybe they can, you know, resume play and go back into the tournament. Maybe that can be a possibility. But as of right now, I just don't think they're going to be in this tournament long.
Yeah, I mean, they entered the bubble with 29 players. They now have 20 available players. They postponed the game against Chicago. Their next game is supposed to be against Philadelphia on July 14th, they haven't trained in a week. So, I mean, you're going to ask 20 players, a depleted roster, to go out there, and who knows, you know, if Don Garber comes out today, the commissioner of MLS, and he says, "All right, we're going to let them hang out. We got it under control now. Everything's going to be good, but they can't train for a few more days." Well, I mean, that really sets you back. So, at what point, I mean, a decision has to be made. Like, it's just, you have to, it sucks. Nobody wants what everybody thinks is going to happen, but you're going to have to make a decision very soon, because, as they say, Marquise, the show is going to have to go on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's unfair to the other teams that are there and are good to go. And it's a danger. I know they have quarantine, and they have everybody moved off in the COVID wing, or whatever they want to call it, but still they're in the bubble, and it's just, like I said, an unfortunate situation.
Yeah. And I don't see a possible, with MLB and with basketball, it's a lot different because they have that farm system to where they can pick up players. I know Brooklyn Nets yesterday signed Jamal Crawford, who has not played in forever, but he's still,
really?
Yeah. Yes. They signed Jamal Crawford, and Jamal Crawford is like 38, 39 years old. He can still go. I will say that Jamal Crawford can still go. He's still pretty good. And they signed him. And, you know, the same thing with MLB, with having that farm system to where if a player tests positive, they can go pull a player from that small farm system. You know, but I don't think MLS has that. So if he makes this decision today and he decides to keep Nashville SC in it, what will be the ramifications of him keeping him in it? Are they going to get some players from USL and then just some random players and then put them on Nashville SC and say, hey, there you go. Here's 9 players from USL that you never played with, and, you know, go have at it. And you guys can still stay in the tournament. But, you know, are they going to do that? Or are they going to kick them out? And those are the only two possibilities with that first option I just said not being a possibility, because why would you just want 9 random players from a random USL team to come on your team to just before you can stay in the tournament? So it's just it's tricky because they don't have that system like other sports have to where they can just pull guys into their team and it's just no problem. Basketball is such an easy sport because if you can hoop, you can hoop. You know, if you're Jamal Crawford and Jamal Crawford and you're 38, 39 years old, and if you can still play ball, it's not going to really matter. Yeah, that chemistry is not going to be there at first, and obviously you got 8 games to kind of figure that out, and that's a quick process to try to learn chemistry, you know, build chemistry with teammates, but you're signing a guy that's been in the league for a long time and has been a 6th man of the year and knows a team, and basketball is such an easier sport to just plug players in. Same thing for Major League Baseball, which is a little more tricky than basketball, but soccer, I can imagine that's a lot more difficult just to add random players on your team. So that's the alternative, and that's a back burner, you know, kind of thought process in that whole thing. So I think they're just going to let him leave the tournament, and that's the sad part about it.
Well, we'll keep you updated on that as news becomes available on Nashville SC. Real quick, I did want to mention NASCAR released the rest of their regular season schedule. So that is through August 30th. They have completed that and released that yesterday. It includes 2 more doubleheader weekends, which I am excited about. I thought that was a success at Pocono. You're going to see more of those in the near future. They're going to do a doubleheader weekend starting Friday, August 7th at the Michigan Raceway. Xfinity will go to Road America that weekend, but you'll have Gander Trucks, ARCA, and the Cup Series, 2 Cup races, one on August 8th, one on August 9th at Michigan. And then instead of going to one of my favorite road courses, favorite tracks, Watkins Glen, which is in New York, which is obviously a hotbed right now, they are not going to go to Watkins Glen this year. They're going to go to Daytona, but they're going to go to the road course because NASCAR has this obsession of going to their oval tracks that have road courses right now. I am interested. I think it'll be cool. So August 14th, they'll go to Daytona and the road course. They'll do another doubleheader the next weekend at Dover, and then they go back to Daytona to wrap up the regular season on the oval as originally scheduled, and that will wrap up the regular season before they get into the playoffs. They will release some other dates in the playoff schedule at a later date, but NASCAR coming out with the rest of their regular season schedule. They've done an admirable job with this, adjusting on the fly, and I can't wait to see what future schedules look like because they have gotten some ideas out of this. When we come back, Marquise, a prominent, and I say prominent, league has said, nope, not going to play. We'll discuss when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable our Alexa skill, our Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson. He's back at the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Like the Bobby Brown bringing us back. That was good. Good stuff there. So, not good stuff. The Ivy League, and I said prominent because they are. I mean, you know, they are obviously known for academics, but I think we all enjoy Harvard, Yale, and, you know, their football games. Well, you're not going to see that this year. They have canceled fall sports. They are not going to play this fall in the Ivy League. And this is, if you look at the landscape of college football, I mean, this is the first conference, really, of note that is making this decision, and it's kind of scary, Marquise, because, you know, the Ivy League were the first to bow out of basketball tournaments. They canceled their tournament when all of this began. That was the first shoe to drop, and then we saw other conferences follow suit and cancel their tournaments, and then, of course, the NCAA tournament got canceled, but the Ivy League not playing fall sports coming up in a few months.
Yeah. It worries me more and more about just because we've, like I said, we've put a lot of stuff in the back burner, a lot of like football, like spring, you know, fall football and NFL and all this stuff, because we're like, ah, we should be fine by then. We ain't going to worry about it. And to me, those are the ones that I worry about the most, especially when it comes to college athletics, because how are you, like, I had all these questions of how are you going to keep the student athletes safe? If you're going to have students on campus, how are you going to, you know, protect the student athletes? And all these questions that were surrounding it. And the Ivy League was kind of always the first one to jump the gun. They were the first ones to kind of cancel, you know, everything when it came to their March tournaments and basketball and all of their spring sports. They're the first ones to just be like, oh, we're just canceling everything. And so, and then everybody else obviously followed suit. So, you know, this is what worries me most about hearing that they're canceling their fall. And I know Power Five schools think a lot different than Ivy League schools, because for them, it's more about the money portion of it. And, you know, they'll tell you, yeah, we care about the safety of our student athletes. They do to an extent, but it's also they care about that dollar bill, y'all. So they got to take care of that first, usually. So, it worries me that, you know, they're canceling sports, and obviously it sucks for the student athlete, and that's the person that I go to the first, you know, first when this whole thing is, because, you know, you're missing out on, you know, eligibility possibly. And yeah, you may get that fifth year, but you may not want to stay in college for 5 years just because, you know, you missed out on that senior year. And it's unfortunate for a lot of those athletes, and especially, you know, if they're going to move football to the spring, it's hard to just move everything when it comes to the draft and you know, all this other stuff. So it's just, it's challenging. I would love to watch some spring football. I'm not going to lie. That's why I love the XFL. I would love to watch spring football, but just not to. And we don't know what this virus is going to look like next year either. You know, we could have a worry that this could look the same next year as it does this year. So, you know, you just never know. It's a lot of uncertain, you know, things that are happening with this pandemic. So, It sucks for the student athlete mainly, but I just knew the Ivy League were going to be the ones to do this. We saw Stanford, they dropped programs as well yesterday. So it's unfortunate for the student athlete. And hopefully, you know, we can, you know, maybe get a, I'll say hopefully, because we may never know at this point with the vaccine, but hopefully that they can kind of turn this thing around and get fall sports back if we can find some kind of alternative. I'm worried about college football now. Like, it's because yesterday, yesterday was kind of like the, well, not yesterday, but just in general, this week has been, you know, voluntary workouts for a lot of college programs. And this was kind of like the start to get, you know, college teams back practicing and before August, and then they can do these little mini fall camps to start the season. Now we saw with Ohio State, now that's not going to happen. They, you know, have to pause all their, you know, voluntary workouts, including basketball and other sports, and also football, because of, you know, positive tests. And it's just, it worries me more and more that I don't think college football is going to start on time. And as much as I, it pains me to say that, because I've been itching for some college football, it just pains me to say that I don't think it's going to start on time, because I don't think they can find an alternative.
ESPN's Heather Denich has been all over this, and she said that the Ivy League's decision probably won't influence Power Five.
The Power Five conference commissioners and athletic directors that I have spoken to have told me that they will monitor this decision closely. It probably won't influence the decisions that they make. Now, a lot of them have told me that their decision benchmark is probably later this month, and Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, might have put it best when he said, "We are going to continue to put one foot in front of the other until someone tells us that we can't," and they haven't done that yet.
Heather Denich on ESPN. I think they have a little more time. They can almost go up to the very last minute and then say in or out or delayed or whatever. They can delay this as long as possible, just because of, you know, the money and the power and all of that. Now, I did see this earlier. I don't know if you saw this. Brett McMurphy of Stadium put this out. Nearly three-fourths of FBS ADs believe football season will be delayed, and 36% say it will be only conference games in a survey that Stadium did of all 130 FBS ADs. In April, only one AD said there wouldn't be a season. This week, eight ADs predict no season in 2021 academic year. One thing that I heard at the very end of Golic and Wingo, Jason Fitz, our buddy, was filling in, and I heard this, I mean, this was like the last 5 minutes of their show talking about this, that he said he could see it being a split season, meaning they might start in the fall and then have a pause and finish in the spring. Now, that's a new one. That's one that you would probably never think of, but that's the fear that, and that's the fear with a lot of these sports, that they'll get started, but they won't finish. That when it gets colder in some places, we'll see another spike. But people were also thinking once it got hot, we would see the numbers get lower, and that hasn't really happened either. So I think they need to really look at this. I don't know about a split season. What do you think about that? Do you think that's feasible?
I don't like a split season. I'd much rather them, like you said earlier, just to play the conference games. I mean, when I look at Alabama, like, do I really care about Alabama playing Tennessee Martin or Georgia State? I really don't. No. Or Kent State, for that matter. Those are Alabama's non-conference games next year. It's USC, Kent State, Georgia State, and Tennessee Martin. Those are the four non-conference games that they have next year. I don't want to see none of those games. Maybe USC. And I think out of all the Power 5 schools that may end up kind of postponing their whole thing, I think the Pac-12 will be one of those conferences that do that. But do I want to see a split season? No, because then you're still playing that in the spring, and it still makes it hard for a lot of these kids that are playing in these Power 5 schools to, you know, how are you going to get ready for the draft? How are you going to, you know, do all these other things that you have to do in the spring that usually football players have to do when it comes to pro days and combines and all this other stuff? How are you going to be able to do that when you have a college football season that you're still playing? And so I don't like that too much. And obviously, you know, we've had to make adjustments. So even if college were to do that, then obviously there will be adjustments made for the combine and everything else. But it's, to me, it's still just I'd rather them just play conference games only and just call it a day.
Well let me throw a little caveat at you about that. I'm cool with – I mean, if you told me that the season was going to be 10 SEC games – for each school, they knock two games off, I would be like, sign me up and pantsless while watching. I mean, I'd be all over that. That's fine. But what if they're able to play 12 games and they come out and the SEC says, all right, this is actually how we're going to do it. We're going to do 11 conference games, and they're going to look at each schedule, and if it makes sense that they're able to keep one of the out-of-conference Power 5 matchups, and I'm going somewhere with this, then you work with the other conferences and you make that happen. Because I don't want to get robbed of Tennessee-Oklahoma Week 2. I really don't. I think a lot of people feel that way. But why couldn't you work, especially early in the season, you know, the SEC and the Big 12 work together, and they're able to do crossovers. So it could just simply be, you know, SEC Big 12 or SEC Big 10 or ACC Big 10, whatever, and do some crossover games like that, and then fill the rest of your schedule with conference games.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's feasible, but as the college football fan of me that's just holding on to a little bit of hope, would love to see that.
Because basically what you're trying to do is limit the travel that the team's got to go through. And I think by having – and when I look at Alabama's schedule, I mean, you know, Georgia State's pretty close to Tuscaloosa. So, I think that wouldn't be a problem. That's in Atlanta. And I don't think, you know, traveling to Tennessee Martin would be a problem. And traveling to all the SEC schools wouldn't be a problem. But I think the USC-Alabama game, which is played in Atlanta or Dallas in a neutral site – I think that's a little bit more difficult. So if you want to do it that way to where, I don't want to get robbed of, you know, Oklahoma and Tennessee either, but it's just, How do you make this work? And I don't think a lot of conferences will do this, especially with the SEC. I don't think the Big Ten would work with the SEC.
No, it's a pipe dream.
Yeah, it is, but I would love it. Like, come on. Can you imagine? Okay, so we're not going to have college football, possibly. But we're going to do these all – like, we're going to have an alternative. We're going to do these, like, kind of like how basketball does it. Like, this Big Ten SEC challenge. And then guess what? The first game is Ohio State versus Alabama. Like – For me as a college football
sign
fan,
sign me up, man.
Sign me up for that.
Nick Saban won't like it, but sign me up.
Yeah, Nick Saban was not going to like it because obviously it's going to make their schedule tougher because we went from playing USC to playing a potential national championship team, and so yeah, that sucks. I've always been a component of them doing that because basketball does it, and college basketball does it well when they do these conference challenges and they put, you know, the top dog in one conference versus the top dog in the other conference. I wish football would do that more, and maybe they experiment with that, you know, with all this going on. But I just think that There's going to be teams and there's going to be programs that are just going to be like, you know what? Like Stanford, for example. I don't even know if Stanford will play football.
That matchup of Alabama USC, I'm here for it, but it ain't happening.
I don't think, like, if out of all the Power 5 school or all the Power 5 conferences that I can see pulling out of this whole thing and just being like, you know what? We're done. I think Pac-12 will be the team that just be like, we're pulling ourselves from you know, any play, and we're canceling our fall sports. I can see them doing that.
Nate from Nashville asked a pretty good question on the text line. How do you think the NCAA would look at senior transfers from teams that don't play this year? Will they grant the transfer with no sit out? They absolutely have to. If you're kind of past that point now, but. There should be no penalty if a player can't play this year. Like, if it's a senior, then you need to grant them another year of eligibility. And I know that's you're getting into finances at that point, and who's going to pay for it? And I know that just raises many more questions, but I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, I could do that. I think it's reasonable. I think we can do that.
Yeah. I just think you get – now – something else, and Trevor Maddich brought this up yesterday when he was on with us, that, okay, that's good intentions, you're right, but then you're robbing from an underclassman, you're taking some of their playing time, and that's a year that they could be playing that now they can't, so what do you do there? There's no right answer. You're not going to be able to completely solve this and do it right.
Yeah, and like I said, that's going to be the most difficult thing to figure this out. But my whole thing is, you know, yeah, I want football, but yeah, I also want the student athletes to be safe, and that to me is the main thing. I do want them to all get their eligibility because they all deserve it, but I also want them to be safe, and that's what they have to have this dilemma of how do we keep these players safe in this whole thing. And look, we can throw all these different scenarios, and all these scenarios sound sexy, especially Ohio State versus Alabama in week one of the – you know, you go from preparing for USC to preparing for Ohio State in the beginning of the year. And,
okay.
But I like that a little bit more. But it's just a lot of things that you just got to figure out beforehand.
I'm at the line right now, and I guess technically if you look at this show like it's a team, I'm the quarterback. So I'm calling an audible right now at the line. I know we had another plan for next segment, but I really am tired of talking about negative stuff, and this is fun, and I'm getting excited about college football. So I want you to put your thinking cap on during the break. We're going to have a little fun with this.
Okay.
It's an all SEC schedule. You get 12 games. All SEC schedule for Alabama.
Team are you picking?
I'll do Tennessee.
Okay,
you
cool.
Do Alabama, I'll do Tennessee. And we're gonna fill those schedules out during the break, and we're gonna do that on the other side because I feel better right now talking college football, and I'm just there's too much negative stuff to talk about. Are you good with this?
I'm good with it.
Tag team partner, are you good with this?
I'm good with this. I'm good with this. I think I can come up with a perfect schedule for Alabama.
All right,
Vandy. I'm just kidding. No, Vandy.
Phil Vandy. All right, we'll do that when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiative, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com, and if you're not down with that, we just got two words for you. DX bringing us back, Chase and Marquise. All right, so we were going to talk about some other things related to just, you know, not fun, not college football. And so we decided, or I decided, I should say, and Marquise was totally cool with it, that we're going to come up with a 12-game SEC schedule for each team and fill it in with, I mean, we got to make changes. And so I'm taking Tennessee, he's taking Alabama. Feverishly worked on this during the break, and it's not easy, of course, to come up with this, but I think it'd be fun to have an all SEC schedule for each team.
And I thought about this too while I was doing this. Couldn't they do like an SEC bubble?
Sure.
Like a conference bubble? Like a 5-conference bubble, to where they just have all the SEC teams in one bubble. And you know, Big Ten and you know Pac-12, you know Big 12. Can they just have them in all like ACC all in one bubble? Like pick a bubble city, like a hub city, and just have them in a bubble, and just play games. I think they should do that.
I think they totally should.
Yeah, I think we need to promote that. We need to let's offer this up to Greg Sankey.
Now, one thing I'm going to say is I understand that you're not going to be able to completely get this right away today. I know there are home dates and away dates, and so let's use our imaginations, imagination on this just a little bit as we try and work through how this is going to look. So I know that you know some dates don't exactly match up, but we're doing the best we can on this. So
yeah, look, I've shifted some games too, so. One in particular. So dates, we're just going to ignore dates. We're just going to do 12-game schedule for Alabama and Tennessee.
Yes. So I am ready if you're ready.
I'm ready, man. Would you like me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. All right. So Alabama obviously had the season opener against USC. I am going to move an SEC game up because we need a big game for that season opener. So that week 3 game, Alabama, Georgia, yeah, that's going to be week 1. And that's going to be the start.
Ooh.
That's going to be the start of the season, is Alabama versus Georgia. Now imagine that. That would be fantastic. So now I have to replace basically 3 games. So I'm going to replace Alabama's second game is usually their next 2 games are usually cupcake games. So for their next 2 games, I'll give them Kentucky and Vanderbilt for those next games, because they need after Alabama, Georgia, like you need a couple of games to kind of regroup yourself.
So Alabama, Georgia to start the season.
Yes.
Then Kentucky. And then Vanderbilt.
And okay. then this is when I throw that challenge back at them, because, you know, week 3 was originally supposed to be Alabama, Georgia, and now moving their tough game to week 4. And this is a game that I've been wanting in the regular season for a long time, Alabama versus Florida in week
Ooh.
4.
Ooh.
So week 4 will be Alabama versus Florida. So week 1 will be Alabama, Georgia, then Alabama against Kentucky, Alabama against Vandy, and then Alabama versus Florida. So then this is where I keep their schedule kind of the same, to where I have Alabama versus Mississippi. But I'm going to move Arkansas to another game. I'm going to do Alabama versus Mississippi, and then Alabama versus Mississippi State. So back-to-back weeks where you have Alabama versus a Mississippi team. And then I'll follow that up with Alabama versus Arkansas. I'm going to keep the rivalry between Alabama and Tennessee at its date, at its exact date, because it's a rivalry. You're supposed to keep it right there.
The third Saturday, actually, it's the fourth Saturday in October.
Yeah, exactly. You got to keep it where it is. And then I will go. Alabama will obviously have a bye week, because they usually have a bye week before they play LSU. So then I have them playing LSU on the November 7th, pretty much. And then Alabama was playing Tennessee Martin. I will replace that game, and then they'll be playing Missouri, because their next two games are going to be tough, because their last two games is against Texas A&M and Auburn. So I pretty much kept Alabama's schedule the same. I just shifted a few games a little bit there.
There you go. I like it.
But there you go. Alabama, Florida. Like, I want to see that.
I would sign up for that. All right, Tennessee fans are going to hate me, but listen, if you're doing an all-SEC schedule and you got to play the West, sorry, the West is really good. So it's kind of hard. So you just kind of
see,
it
was easy for me to just plug in the bad teams that Alabama was playing with bad SEC East teams. Like, it was easy.
I did that,
because I thought about South Carolina. I thought about South Carolina, but I was like, nah, they need another easy game, so let's give them Missouri.
See, I did that, but one of them was already on the schedule. So they were scheduled. Tennessee is scheduled to open their season against Charlotte, so we have to take that off. I went with Mississippi State to open the schedule for the Volunteers. So that Charlotte game is replaced by the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Now, week two at Oklahoma, that has a lot of sizzle to it. A lot of people excited about that game. You know, I said I don't want to see that game go away. But if it does, you got to replace it with something with a lot of sizzle. So why not bring back one of my favorite rivalries that the damn schedule got rid of, and we don't get it enough anymore? Give me Tennessee at Auburn.
Ooh.
And let's bring back the rivalry.
That's spicy. I like
Tennessee
that.
At like Auburn, that. Week two. Vols fans cussing my name right now for bringing that up in week two. But let's do it. I like that one. Week three was supposed to be Furman, Hottie Toddy, Lane Kiffin. We're moving that game, so he returns to or I guess that isn't this year. So we have Ole Miss coming to Knoxville in week three.
See, I was going to say flip those. I wanted Lane Kiffin's first SEC game as a coach to be against Tennessee. Like that.
That'd be good.
That would be storyline. But I like that. Let's go. Lane Kiffin versus Tennessee, regardless of what week it is. That's must-see TV right there.
It is must-see TV. I mean, anytime you get the Lane train coming to Knoxville, which he's been back. He was back with Alabama, right? Wasn't that?
Yes.
He went back as a coordinator?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so that would be week three. And then the tradition, I know you have week four is Alabama, Florida, but again, dates don't matter with this right now. So week four against Florida, we keep that. We'll keep Missouri. We'll go at South Carolina. So keep those dates, and then the off week before they take on the Crimson Tide, which will be a tough matchup, keeping that as the third, actually fourth Saturday in October. Then they head to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas before playing Kentucky at Georgia. And then there was one more game in Knoxville that was supposed to take place before closing the season out at Vandy. Have to replace that game, which was originally scheduled to be against the Troy Trojans. Troy, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to come to Knoxville this year. So what we had to do, we had to bring in the defending national champion, LSU Tigers. They're coming to Knoxville. Give me Tennessee LSU. Yeah, November 21st in Knoxville.
Man, giving Tennessee a tough schedule there, buddy.
The West is better. What do you want me to do?
Man, you got to go Alabama, Tennessee. You got to go Alabama. You got to go LSU. You got to beat Auburn. And you got to beat Georgia and Florida. You got to beat, wow. I'm sorry, Tennessee. That's five losses right there.
I apologized at the beginning of this, and I said Vols fans were going to hate me for it. But the West is better. What can I say?
I mean, that's true. I mean, you're
is
true.
You're doing a crossover schedule. I mean, you have no choice.
For me, I was just sipping my tea. Like, I'll just sprinkle a little Kentucky there. I'll put a little Vandy here. That's Kent State. Kent State is similar to Vandy. Well, there you go.
But yeah, you.
But I did add Florida. But still, you know.
Well, because they're already playing. They're already going to play all of the Eastern teams, obviously. And then to look at the crossover of the West, they were already playing Alabama. They're already playing Arkansas. So my choices, A&M, I could have added A&M, but LSU is going to be down. LSU lost a lot. So I went LSU over A&M, and then plus the bringing back the rivalry with Auburn, I think it was just the best course of action.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I also would have loved to see a matchup between Pruitt versus Jimbo. Like, Jimbo sure. versus Jeremy Pruitt would be a great matchup as far as coaches, former Saban disciples, like, going at it. I would love to see that. But LSU and Tennessee would be pretty good. And, I mean, plus, look, it may not be the same LSU team. I mean,
yeah, that was my rationale behind that it's not the same LSU team.
Yeah, they lost everybody on offense and half of their defense. So, they don't have Joe Burrow. So, I think that's a fair matchup. I think Texas A&M... We're slighting them a little bit. I think they're going to be really good this year. So
they could be that team to really watch.
Yeah, I think they could do
some damage.
Not what LSU did last year, but they can do what Auburn did, where Auburn kind of stayed in the conversation a lot because their defense was really good. And then, you know, obviously they had a young quarterback, so, you know, he lost them a couple games. But, you know, I think they can be in that category of, like, they're still in the conversation of, like, a top 10 team. Texas A&M. So
I think there's a chance we see the Empire Strikes Back with Nick Saban in Alabama, but they didn't like last year. But their schedule's tough. Even if their schedule stays the same, I mean, there's some tricky games on there.
No, they do. I mean, you got Florida, and then obviously I replaced one team with Florida. Florida's going to be another team that's going to be really good this year. So you got Florida, you got Georgia. Look, I think one of those Mississippi teams is going to be difficult. I don't know which one it's going to be, but one of those Mississippi State, it'll probably be Ole Miss more than likely. Yeah. If I were to just take a guess, it would be Ole Miss. But one of those Mississippi games is going to be tough. And then you got LSU, which is a rivalry game every year, so that's going to be tough. Then you got Texas A&M, and then you got Auburn. Alabama's schedule is pretty tough. That's why I had to sprinkle in a couple of little weakness in the SEC East. I kept South Carolina out of there because South Carolina's kind of good, too.
That was fun. I feel good. I feel
you feel good. We need to do segments like this more often.
Yeah, I agree.
To where we just let loose. Because it's like...
I'm tired of the negative stuff.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
I'm tired of talking about how many players, caught COVID in Nashville, SC. Like, I'm done.
And players tweeting out dumb stuff.
Players tweeting dumb things and all this guessing games of who's going to, when they're going to play. I'm tired of that. Let's just have some fun, man. Let's have some fun.
Yep, I completely agree with that. When we come back, we'll do another list. We'll look at one that ESPN put out there, the top 10 running backs in the NFL going into this season. We'll do that to wrap up the Rundown. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Moving right along here on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase coming up in just a few minutes. Another big show for you. Richard Deitch of The Athletic at 10:15. Barrett Salee talking some college football at 11. Ariel Helwani from ESPN UFC's coverage. He'll join us at noon. And Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet talking hockey at 1 o'clock as Elliot Friedman is on vacation again this week. So his colleague Jeff Merrick will fill in for him during that 1 o'clock hour. So we saw this morning that ESPN, they're doing some NFL position rankings. And today, of course, was running back. And the headline reads, ranking the NFL's top 10 running backs for 2020. Who's the best of the big three? So how they did this was they took more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help us, to help them, I should say, rank the top 10. So it was basically a vote. And that's how they got this. So they had tight ends, then quarterbacks were July 8th. That was yesterday. Running backs, tomorrow will be wide receivers, and then offensive tackles coming up on July 11th, and then more next week. So as we're short on time, let's get to it. And then we'll debate some of these. Number one on the list. Do you want me to start with number one, or do you want me to go backwards and start at number 10?
Let's start from the bottom. Let's start from the bottom and then go to the top.
All right. So number 10 on the list, Le'Veon Bell of the New York Jets. Now, they do note the highest ranking, meaning that was the highest ranking they got in a vote, was fourth, the lowest 15th out of the 50 coaches, players, and executives that were polled. So Le'Veon Bell of the Jets coming in at number 10.
Nah.
You don't agree with that?
Nah, I don't think Le'Veon Bell is the top 10 running back right now.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with that.
I would put Marlon Mack in the top 10 before I put Le'Veon Bell. But well, we'll go through the list and we'll see who I can replace him.
I put Marlon Mack, or I might even have another one, but that I'll bring up in a second. Josh Jacobs at number 9 of your beloved Las Vegas Raiders. The highest ranking for him was 7th. The lowest ranking, he was off the ballot completely. What do you think about Josh Jacobs in the top 10?
I mean, Josh Jacobs is top 10. I think he's a little bit higher than 9, though.
I would agree.
I think he's closer, edging like 6, 7, maybe. Because he's like that borderline like top 5 guy. He's not a top 5 guy yet because, you know, he's only had one season. But he's like itching there. So I would put him on like 7.
I would probably shift to the next two and put Josh Jacobs above them. Number 8, Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals, highest ranking 4th, lowest ranking 14th.
Nah, I could agree with that. He's top 10. He's top 10 for sure.
He's top 10. I'd probably have him.
You probably shift him and Jacobs probably.
I would move Jacobs. Well, Nick Chubb is 7th. Highest ranking 3rd, lowest ranking 11th. I would probably go Jacobs, Mixon, Chubb is probably how I'd rank it.
I would probably put Chubb, Jacobs, and then Mixon.
Okay.
That's probably – Chubb did have a great season last year. So I'll go with Chubb, Jacobs, and then I'll go with Joe.
6th on the list, Dalvin Cook of the Minnesota Vikings. Highest ranking 1st, lowest ranking 8th. I don't know if I disagree with that.
I don't disagree with that. 6 is perfect. He's a borderline top 5 guy. So yeah, 6 is a perfect spot for him.
Number 5 on this list, everybody agreed he should be in the top 10, but the highest ranking was 1st, the lowest ranking was 9th to Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans. He comes in right smack dab in the middle. And the little blurb says, perhaps the most feared runner in the league is a true closer. Quote, he's so tough to tackle over 4 quarters, said one longtime NFL defensive coach. Completely wears you down and takes over games, end quote. Henry fell to number 5 on the list, but to many evaluators who prefer a true workhorse, he belongs much higher. Henry led the NFL in rushing attempts and yards against boxes of 8 or more defenders. So 106 attempts, 572 yards against boxes of 8 or more defenders. The next closest was Adrian Peterson with 324 yards. So high praise for Derrick Henry coming in at number 5. Number 4, Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints. His highest ranking was number 2, lowest was 9th. So Alvin Kamara just ahead of Derrick Henry. I might move Derrick.
Yeah, I'd flip those two. I mean, Alvin Kamara is definitely top 5, but I'd definitely flip those two. So Derrick Henry, let's move Derrick Henry up to 4 now.
Yeah, now the top 3, I don't disagree with the top 3. You can maybe argue about the order, but as we get into the top 3, I think that they have the players right. Ezekiel Elliott comes in at number 3 with the Dallas Cowboys. Highest ranking, 1st, lowest ranking, 11th. And then number 2 on the list, this is where I'm going to disagree. Number 2 on the list is Christian McCaffrey of the Carolina Panthers, highest ranking 1st, lowest ranking 4th. I would have him number 1 on my list. And then number 1, according to this ranking, Saquon Barkley of the New York Football Giants, highest ranking 1st, lowest ranking 6th. Quickly, Marquise, agree or disagree with Saquon at number 1?
No, Christian McCaffrey, easily.
I would go McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke.
Yeah, but Zeke at 3 and Henry at 4, you can kind of have a little debate on. Because I think I would probably.
So you could probably put Derek in the big 3.
I would put Derek in the big 3.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would put Derek in the big 3. This is not Alabama bias. This is not Tennessee bias. It's just, I'm going off of what they did last year. And Zeke was good last year. He had 1,300 yards last year. So, yeah, he did pretty good. But that's an argument there that I think you can make for Derrick Henry. I'm just saying.
I won't disagree. There's a major argument for that.
I'm just saying.
Take care. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of The Rundown. Stick around, though. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.